host, Tiny Grinds, and I am joined today by my host, by my co-host,
Dark Nodge.
Welcome back to the show, Tiny. Dark Nodge. I don't know if you happen to notice, the two champs, one chump gang really doesn't like your Canadian accent. So if you could just find a way to root that out, you know, that would probably help the show a lot.
Actually, I heard through the grapevine, it's not that they dislike my Canadian accent. It's that they find it so sexy, they can't hold themselves back, and that makes them feel insecure. You know, me being a man, them being a man, me not being interested in that kind of thing. So that's tough, but, I mean, I hear once Daryl has a couple beers in him, it can get ugly.
Oh, well, that's very interesting. I did not realize that. All right, well, so we've talked about it. They've talked about it. I think there's going to be a grudge match between two champs, one chump, and two regional champs, no chumps. I think that's what we renamed our show to. Is that right?
That is, yep. That's okay. Us.
Yeah. It's a big hassle to do it on iTunes, but that is the new name of our show, Two Champs, No Chumps.
Yeah. So, Tiny, speaking of regionals, I went to my final one, and I sadly didn't win.
You didn't win a regional?
Yeah.
Wow.
Fourth and final. I took third.
That's weird. The world didn't end or anything.
Now, I blame the fact that I changed decks on my way to the event in the car, basically. I had Alex with me, and we played the night before, and he was staying at my place before I headed to Montreal. And he basically thumped me three times in a row, and I realized that the deck I had couldn't beat Greyjoy Long Voyage Cancel.
Well, then you probably don't want to play that deck, right? Since that's what everyone's playing.
Yeah, exactly. With I figured a large portion of the people were going to be playing. I thought this was a huge bad idea. And Alex said, "Well, I got this Stark Siege. It's pretty good against that archetype." And I said, "Okay, I'd like to play that." In the morning, at like 6 a.m, we changed 5 or 6 cards, and then actually in the car, we put in another couple more changes. I think in total we moved 12 cards out, but I find these Stark Siege decks in general, there's a lot of pieces that can be different in each one, but they do basically the same thing. So because of that, I don't think it was a huge change. So I have to thank Alex for basically building the deck I ended up playing at the regional and taking third with.
That's interesting that you thank him, whereas the way I look at it is he sabotaged you the night before. He undermined your confidence and then gave you a deck that he knew you couldn't win with so he could win the event.
Well, I did really well at the regional. I was the only undefeated person after Swiss, so I was happy with that. And there was a lot of Long Voyage, a lot of Greyjoy the Long Voyage. In fact, the final game was 2 Greyjoy the Long Voyage, Alex playing his, and Trevor playing the choke version. And Trevor took me out in the semis. I just felt, he'd even choke me. He just played more military icons than me, and that was that. A couple naval escorts, and I was staring down the barrel of a gun.
Yeah, it's pretty surprising to hear that a Stark Siege deck is getting out-militaried.
Well, it's tough. You know, as soon as they get 2 of those warships down, and then you get a naval escort, and Trevor actually opened turn 1 with a Val because I had a really good setup and saved his Wintertime Marauders. And from that point on, I was kind of in some serious trouble.
Yeah, it kind of sounds like it. How many resources were you able to get out?
I think I had 2 resources early. The resources weren't a problem. I was able to play a significant portion of my hand the next round. The problem really was the naval escort with the 2 other warships, because he was able to add +3 to 3 guys, and that just, that's a huge change. A big swing in military power. So yeah. I was kind of stuck.
Were you playing a siege deck with a bunch of epic battles, or not that?
I was playing 9 epic battles in my siege deck, which I think is a little bit higher than I see some people play. But I found it was really fast. Some games I finished on round 2, no problem. I also found, thanks to negotiations, that the deck was very resilient to early Valors and was able to recover well.
So you're going to make the claim that Negotiations of the Sept is a good card?
I'm going to claim that it's probably really, really good and may need to be restricted because, 3 gold, decent initiative, 2 claim. I see people play that just like that with no text. And then you add in the text and I get a bunch of extra hands. That's happiness.
That definitely needs to be restricted.
Yeah, something needs to be done with it. If it was one claim, it'd be pretty balanced. I think it'd still see tons of play.
If it was one claim, it'd see tons of play. To be perfectly honest, if it was one claim, I think it would probably have to be restricted.
Yeah, maybe.
That's how good it is with two claim.
Yeah.
Because with one claim, you're still getting to do an aggro deck, dump your hand, get a whole new hand, and go.
Yeah, it's strong. It really helped that the Stark Siege deck out. And it's a very strong deck in the current meta. I think it has a lot of other bad matchups, but it does well against the Greyjoy the Long Voyage. So it's a pretty
good... Except for the fact that you lost to a Greyjoy Long Voyage, it does really good against him.
It does normally, yes. Yeah.
Okay.
It uses Burning Bridges and Dry Season to shut down some of their locations.
Gotcha. Some of their save trickery.
Exactly.
All right. That sounds reasonable. Any other thoughts from the tournament?
I mean, honestly, I saw, two Greyjoy Long Voyages. One of them I played in Switch, which was Alex, the eventual winner. I won that one, obviously, so I went undefeated. I played Targ, Dragon, the Long Voyage. These are the decks that you've seen winning several events. So, there wasn't a lot of newer interesting decks. I played a Stark Maesters, but he didn't have Val, so it was a horrible matchup for him against a Stark Siege. He couldn't do much. The one deck that I saw that I found interesting, remains to be seen whether it's good or not, was a Lannister Black Sails that basically searched out key Neil characters with Black Sails. So, they would start off and they would play the plot that they could go find a character. They'd find a Castellan or an enemy informant to Neil, two or three of your guys out turn one. And then because your guys were knelt out, they were able to push through some of their challenges to go get other enemy informants to continually kneel out your board. Interesting idea. I think he made top 8 but didn't go further than that. So,
yeah, it seems to be a bit flawed in that off the top of my head I can't think of how many naval characters that deck has.
Well, it's got the little infamy guy that you, once he gets a power on, he gets a naval icon. It's got the new guy that gives you 2 gold when a character gets knelt that has a naval icon. It runs the location that can give naval icons to unique characters. So, Cersei or Jaime or whoever can get some naval icons.
Right. So the problem is, if you're playing the Neil characters, these guys are not uniques. So the galley doesn't work well with them.
Right.
It just feels like you would need a tremendous amount of gold to make this deck work. It's a cool idea. I like it, though.
Yeah, exactly. It's an interesting idea. I'm not saying it's good or anything, but it was definitely interesting. And maybe, maybe a listener out there can take that idea and refine it. Because Lannister does do gold well. Like, he was counting significant amounts of gold. He actually played the plot where all of his locations produced an extra gold so that he could do things like play a lot of characters in one round.
Hmm. Interesting.
Yep. All right. It's interesting.
So... Greyjoy Long Voyage versus Greyjoy Long Voyage in the finals. What was the deck that took 4th?
That was a Lannister House of Dreams Tunnels.
Ah, okay.
One of the better Tunnels decks I've seen. I've seen 2 Tunnels decks now at regionals I've been to. The first one was in Rochester. I played it in the semifinals as well. It was all right. I found this one had a better icon spread, more characters with stealth, so it was a little bit more hardy. It's a decent Tunnels deck. I think Tunnels can do okay, and I think it can make the cut, but I don't see it winning very many events anymore.
I don't know. I'm a little torn on Tunnels. It seems like it might be fairly well-placed right now. I can't quite tell. I think the problem with it is it seems to be a little too slow. While you're setting up all those Shadows guys, you're risking like a Baratheon deck running over you or a Siege deck running over you.
And it loses to the Greyjoy Long Voyage for the same reason. Basically, they just go into rush mode. They push through a couple unopposed challenges early while you're setting up and accumulate power too quickly, then win.
Right. So it sounds like Long Voyage took the top 2 spots at your regional. And correct me if I'm wrong, but did Long Voyage win 6 of the 7 regionals this weekend?
Yeah, I believe the only other one was won by a Barra Wildling deck.
Then I think we'll have to go to 5 out of 7 because I know Alex... won the SoCal regional with a Greyjoy, not Long Voyage Death.
Oh, a Greyjoy what? Black Sails?
Aaron Dampier.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, cool. I don't know the details of the deck. I wasn't able to make that event. I was out of town. But I do know that SoCal has been kind of interesting this season. Like, I don't think any of the top players actually ran a Long Voyage deck at this event. And this is something that SoCal tends to do. We get kind of bored with running whatever the broken deck is and then just run other decks, which is kind of interesting. I know it helped me last year, the fact that everyone was like, well, I don't really feel like running Maesters. And I was like, really? I just started the game, and I'm going to run Maesters all season. So that was kind of nice. Put me at a pretty big advantage, actually. But so I would say, though, if we're going to have five of the seven winning with Long Voyage has, I don't know, in my estimation, pretty much dominated the regional season. Are you at a point where you think something needs to be done about it, or do you think the meta is just going to sort of sort itself around it?
Well, first, the Bear Wildlings was in Argentina. It was Devil Mostro's deck. So, and that's up on AGOT cards for people that are interested. But, yeah, I think there needs to be something done about the Long Voyage. I don't think restricting it to Solution, because if you look at a lot of these Greyjoy the Long Voyage decks, which are, I think, right now the strongest deck, it might be the strongest deck in the whole meta right now, it's that basically if you remove their restricted, they would drop their plot, which is most of them are using, and replace three events in their deck, and they'd be fine. So it would have very little impact on the decks we've been seeing win. And I think the same can be said for the Targ and Long Voyage. They would take out the long lances and place it with some other characters. And again, they would not see a huge impact to their deck.
The one place I would push you there is it seems like at least the Greyjoy deck I played had a very minimal amount of draw. And I relied on using the Great Sept to replenish my hand. And so if we restricted both the Sept and Long Voyage, and so they lost all that extra draw that they're getting to replenish, now they'd have to work much harder to get draw.
I don't think that's the case with the current iteration of the Raiders, which is the most popular and I think the strongest of the Greyjoy decks. They all run Bay of Ice with super high initiative plots plus Captured Cog to get extra draw. So in most cases, I'm seeing these guys, you know, draw cap from different effects between, you know, Longship Island Victory, the Bays of Ice, you know, and if they got choked, then they're playing with Samwell and Ravens as well, and they just quickly draw cap. I've seen several times people said to me, you know, I cut Sam out of my choke deck because I got to the point where I was only ever drawing one card with the Ravens because I was drawing so much before.
That's really funny. Okay, well, I guess that's me not being as up as I should be on the current iteration of Greyjoy Long Voyage. And it seems like the Targ one is running Summer. I'm getting a lot of draw there, and Martell is doing the same. So perhaps that's correct, that just restricting the Long Voyage is not enough. So is there another answer, or do we just say, okay, Long Voyage is kind of broken right now, design some new cards around it, people get really creative and design decks around it, kind of like what we did last year with Maesters, where people just figured out, like, this deck just beats Maesters, and put a damper in it. Or do you have any other suggestions for how you would help the meta?
You know, I've seen a bunch of suggestions that people have been kicking around. Some people say, you know, restrict it to Bera only, because Bera, though it was one of the first ones to win with the Long Voyage, it's actually one of the weaker, you know, matchups with the Long Voyage, or maybe Bera and Stark only, because those are the two that are performing, you know, the least well, we'll say. I've heard people say you should make it so that people can only include two of any particular card in their deck, so that it really brings out the variance that the you know, that was supposed to be the original intent, what everyone thinks the original intent of the agenda was be for the drawback going up to 85 cards, but just because the size of the card pool, it wasn't really a drawback. So people are saying, well, just say, you know, it has to be 100 cards, or you can only include two of any card. then at that point, you know, we'll see the variance again. I don't like the idea of going up to 100 cards. Basically, that to me, that's like a, you know, a stopgap solution. We're going to see in another year we'll have enough cards and enough redundancy again that we'll be at the same point. So I'd rather see, you know, two of any card so that it reduces your options for redundancy at least permanently to some effect. It means that you can take less advantage of any restricted card that you might put in the deck, so that will be a drawback in and of itself as well. I like that, but I think an errata of that type, that's a pretty big errata. Be tough on the card. It might be too much as well. You know, it's a balancing act. What about you, Tiny? What do you think? I know that you've been thinking a lot on this.
Yeah, I actually haven't thought a lot about what a great errata would be. The funny thing is, I don't think two of any one card would be as bad as it sounds. And I guess this is me just thinking more about, like, just a Greyjoy deck, for example. Like, they have plenty of cancels, so they could just use different types of cancels. They still have the redundancy. They have plenty of saves, so that, you know, if they only have two of each, it's a little less saving power, but they still have a ton of saves. Two Ashas, two Boat Swains. It's not as bad as I think you think it is. I don't even think two would fix Greyjoy Long Voyage.
I think it would really, it would tone it down, because especially with the new Raider ones, they run a lot of three ofs because they want to see those cards. To bring it down to two, I think will, it might temper it enough that it's not overly over the top powerful. And it will definitely bring down many of the other Long Voyage decks that rely on like three of all the dragons, for instance, and stuff like that.
Yeah, I could see that. I'm just thinking that I don't think a two of solution fixes all the decks. And I think that's the problem, is that there's such a wide diversity of decks that it seems like maybe a more creative errata is going to be needed.
Let's be honest. Greyjoy is over the top with some of its cards. It was hit least by the erratas last time. I think they probably missed some key cards like Iron Mines, which, you know, to me, they put Orphans on that list. They should have put Iron Mines right away. It's another, in every single Greyjoy deck, you see Iron Mines. So I think they should have been on the list right away. And maybe some other high efficiency cards should have hit the list from Greyjoy, Asha or Boatswain or something. And then if you added that to the Long Voyage, I think Greyjoy would still be a good deck. You could still play it. However, with those other restrictions, I think you would see that the deck in general would be at the same power level as the other houses that got hit harder by the restricted list.
Yeah, I think that's probably needed. Another possible errata that I saw is a little more creative, and it's the Bear Island errata, where you make it so that you can only play cards in-house. And I think that hurts it where it has its biggest weakness, which is in the resources. If you take away all those neutral resources and make them rely on much less efficient, oftentimes limited resources, I feel like that might hit it where it was supposed to be hit.
That's interesting, but I mean, could you even build a deck without using some out-of-house locations?
I'm not sure. It'd be difficult. You'd have your Seas, you'd have the Fiefdoms, you would have the gold producers. There would be nine, and I'd have to look through each house to figure out. I mean, you'd have the Chambers, that would be 10.
And then the plots, you might be able to get to 13 maximum. I don't even think that's enough locations if you do your normal balance. Like, you want to get 15, 16 locations.
You could do Kingdom of Shadows.
Okay, yeah, you could put in the Kingdom of Shadows. So you could probably get up to the number you needed, but like nine of them would be limited or something.
Right, but that to me would be sort of like the point of what was supposed to be the point, right, that we were already talking about, the variance, and if you make it so that it's really dicey and there's going to be games, there already are games where I call it hitting the iceberg, where you just don't get any resources because you're running so many cards, and I've lost a couple times with that, and it's really frustrating. And if that just became an actual risk that happened, say, 60% of the time or 70% of the time versus like 5% of the time, I think it becomes a much more risky proposition to run the deck.
Right.
I'm not saying it's the answer. I'm saying it's a possible errata that probably should be tested.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think it might be too much at this point, unless some other, you know, multi-house locations came into effect that you could use. And it would destroy anyone trying to use the Long Voyage with influence or anything like that as well.
I guess for me, the bottom line is I haven't heard of anything creative enough that I think actually puts much of a damper on it.
Right, and you know,
I think we're going to be left with it for a while, in a slightly reduced state. But I think it's going to be hanging around.
Yeah, me too. I mean, I think the first reaction is going to be restriction from FFG would be my guess, which is too bad because I don't think it'll solve much of the problems, and I think it will actually hamper some of the creativity we saw thanks to Long Voyage, where we saw things like the Thraki decks and everything come out. People would be like, "Well, now if it's my restricted card, I really need to make sure I'm playing one of these top tier decks with it."
Right.
To be effective, which is too bad, because I did like that part of it. I did like the idea that these older concepts could come out. I just felt that, you know, draw is so important in this game, and when you have extra draw, it really makes it easy for a deck to self-correct, for a deck to overcome the mistakes of the pilot and stuff. And I like the fact that, you know, normally in Game of Thrones, it takes, you know, the pilot's important, and I felt that Long Voyage didn't make it disappear, obviously, but I think it reduced the impact the pilot has.
Yep, I would agree with that. I'm not sure I'd say that's why Tiny Grimes won his first regional, but it may be.
We'll never know. We'll always be asking.
Yep, we'll always wonder, could Tiny have won a regional without a really good deck? But I was using, supposedly, the bad iteration of Greyjoy Long Voyage. So I've got
you
that.
You were just
going.
Playing the iteration at that time. I wasn't saying it was bad. I was just saying that I think the Raiders one may be stronger.
Now, I agree. The reason mine suffers is because it doesn't have a lot of draw. I'm
right.
Just basically getting three cards a turn. And in that way, it plays almost like if you were doing a House of Dreams LIV build with a lot of variants. So in many ways, it probably just wasn't a great deck.
So, we've talked about the Long Voyage. We've talked kind of about the restricted list. There's a card coming off the restricted list soon, I think.
Dun, dun, dun. Isn't it coming off the banned list?
I think there's two cards coming off the banned list, actually. One of them I'm not so excited about.
I don't care about the one. But Jaqen H'ghar has got my interest.
Well, yeah. That guy is awesome. Have you seen him on the show?
I have not seen him on the show. I haven't watched the show yet. But yeah, he sure looks interesting. You tell me a guy can have every house affiliation. You tell me he has a tricon and he has three strength and he can have any keyword he wants. Say vigilant, say cat of canals, you can't touch this. I go, wow, as a Jamie player, he's going in every deck. But then you say, oh wait, he's five cost and has an ally trait. I say, as a Jamie player, he will never go into any of my decks.
But as a Shaggy player, he is just one of the sexiest men out there. I can give him any keyword. That means I can attack, you can declare defenders, then I can give him deadly. That's so cool.
Yeah,
just little things like that are fun. I mean, I really like him. He's got all kinds of neat little tricks you could do with him, which makes me excited. And the fact that he's every house affiliation, so all those things that say, you know, only for House X will work with him, wow, he's fun.
Yeah, I think he's going to be the most fun card in the meta. And I think if the meta doesn't start teching for him or allies, he's going to be really strong. My worry is that if pre-Gen Con or pre-World someone comes up with a really cool build for him and it gets out, everyone's just going to start running three copies of Dissension. And then whatever that combo is becomes really easy to disrupt unless that player is able to gather so much power on their house that every turn they can become first player, and then every turn at the start of the marshalling phase they can take the first action and make him immune. Because even if they have the power to make him immune, but they don't get first player, the other player's first action is going to be Dissension.
Yeah, exactly. No, he's very easy to deal with. You know, you could just bring Fars out of Shadows. It wouldn't matter if the guy's first player or not. You get Shadows, he's dead.
That's true. He really does seem like the ultimate plot, fun Shaga guy that Jamie players are going to look at and say, oh, I don't know if I can do this.
Oh, yeah, he'll be fine. I'm sure someone will figure out some kind of broken combo with him. Till then, I think he'll be around. He'll be having a good time, and he's definitely not a card I would run out and put in a Jost deck.
So my question, though, is if you're going to build a deck with him in it, are you going to take a standard deck that you're running and go like, I think a copy of this Jakin Hagar could be really good? Or are you going to do pretty much limit him to three copies of him in a deck in which he's playing a starring role?
I think I would tend to play the starring role Jakin decks, but that's the Shaggy player in me. I want to do something cool with him. And it's a little bit of the Ned in me, too, because he's such a cool character in the books.
Yeah, and isn't it great that he's non-unique so you can have them all out there?
Yeah, I'm sure that'll be fixed almost immediately.
What? Yeah, I think he's better as a unique because then you can dupe him. So if they are able to dissension him or do some other trick, you can at least save him with a dupe.
Right, but I mean, if he was non-unique, there'd be even more combos I'm sure people could figure out.
Oh, yeah.
When there was two of them in play or something, so.
Definitely. And that is, you know, one potential deck idea I have that I'll throw out here that is probably bad. But I'm thinking in some sort of, like, Martell, Westeros Bleeds recursion deck, you could do three copies of him with the Viper. And then you could do things like Westeros Bleeds, nearly every dominance phase, recurring them, also recurring any dupes that you need of Hagar that have been gotten rid of, put them back on him, continually the wiping the board, but still have your Viper and your Jakin Hagar on the board doing amazing things.
Yep, definitely do that kind of stuff. But again, I don't think, you know, you're not going to win Jost matches with that type of thing, I don't think.
I think you
someone
could
try to prove me wrong.
A lot of Joust games. The problem, of course, comes into you get in a tournament, you go 5-0 in Joust. By the time the top 8 rolls around, everyone's whispering, "Have you seen his Jakin Hagar deck? Oh my goodness, it's amazing!" And there'll be one guy in the top 8 who's playing dissensions and other ways to remove him, and then just gets rid of him.
Yeah, he'll just save Holtless cards in hand until he appears. Then kill him.
So it makes me wonder if, is that the best way to play him? Is with like the straight out build around him? Or can you just stick him in like, say, a Bearer Rush deck and be like, okay, I got another Rush character that I can give vigilance and renown to or something.
Right.
But then I guess the question is, do you even want to give that guy renown if there's such a great chance you're going to lose him?
Yeah, especially since you're paying power for it, right? Put him in a Bearer Rush deck, discarding 2 power to give him vigilance around so he can claim 3 power.
Yeah, that seems dicey.
Just not feeling it.
Yep, I agree.
So
we'll have to see. My initial impression of him is I can't wait to see what Shaga players do with it. But as much as I want to play him in decks, I imagine I'll build a deck around him. Someone will dissension him. I'll rage and never play him again. That's sort of my guess.
So, Tiny, regional season ends in, I think, a week.
Regional season ended like a month and a half ago.
For you.
Yes, and that's...
But for the rest of the world, I think it ends next week.
It doesn't really matter. It's been over forever.
Well, I'll get to my point then right away.
Sure.
Gen Con's coming. And come to Gen Con. Sign up. Get ready. Come down to Gen Con. It's the Nationals, and more importantly, it is a great time every single year.
Yeah, I've been to one Gen Con. It was my last Gen Con, probably. But man, it was great. I really had a good time. If it was still the World Championship, I would definitely be there. It's a lot of fun. The only reason I'm not going, I'm in one of those circumstances where I can only go to one event. If I'm going to pick one, I'm going to Worlds, but I will definitely be missing the Gen Con experience.
Yeah, and you know, now that we're talking about big events, there's one other big event that has already started announcements. It's way farther in the future, but if you haven't heard about this, it's ValorCon. So Dobbler's hosting a major throne event just before regional season of next year. And it's something that, if you haven't heard about, you should consider it. Check it out on the boards. It's called ValorCon.
Yep. It sounds like it's going to be great. He can house a whole truckload of people. So that should be fun. Dabbler's tournament should be great. The nice thing is when a really big-time player hosts a big tournament, tends to draw out other big-time players, which makes the field a lot better and a lot deeper and a lot more fun.
Yeah, for sure. I know that there'll be some of the best players in the U.S. for sure showing up for that. And I'll try to convince some Canadians to go down if I can work out with my wife and let me disappear for a third trip that year.
Ah, yeah. Wives love that kind of stuff. Well, I think that's going to wrap up another edition of Summer is Coming.
Most importantly, tune in next time to hear me and Tiny design the deck that we are going to use to completely demolish the gents from Two Champs and a Chump.
All right, so until next time, stay classy, Westeros.